Are we okay? 1 second. Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Test, what, should I grab a mic or? Battery? Yes, is this better? Okay, very good. Thank you for the opportunity to share God's word with you and a little bit about our ministry in Mexico. Before we start, one thing I have to share is on August 4th of the year 1979, which is today is August 4th, 2013, my wife and I said, I do. So, Nancy, I love you this morning. I always tease her with that last part where I say this morning or tonight. And what it is, it's of course, satirical because it's exact opposite of that. It's a lifelong commitment. And it's good to be married for 34 years and to be secure in your relationship. And that's a gift from God. We're going to look at a few slides of our, for those of you who are unfamiliar with Nancy and my ministry and in should I try a different mic or how are we doing here? For those of you who are unfamiliar with the ministry in Mexico, for the past 8 years, what we've been doing is going to some villages along the Pacific coast of Mexico that are fishing and agricultural villages that are trying to be also tourist destinations. And there's a significant number of mostly Canadian snowbirds who go down there. And so you'll have numbering in the several thousand English-speaking folks who are down there for anywhere from 3 to 6 months. And there was no English-speaking church in that area for them. And so we are the only English-speaking church in this area, and we are multi-denominational. And this is the Palapa. This is the where we meet, where we worship. The one we used to meet and burned down several years ago, and this was the replacement. It cost us, those are palm branch fronds, that's the roof, and it's all built with local labor. And we probably paid, I don't know, $45,000, $50,000 for that structure with the accompanying bathroom, you don't see the bathroom, and whatnot. And it's all paid for, so we thank God for that. What the theme this last year has been, the winter of 2012-2013, this past winter, was blessed in order to be a blessing. And that's not just referring to material things. Most importantly, we're blessed in our relationship with God. And that's what we have to offer to others. And so there's really a twofold ministry here, a ministry to the snowbirds coming down, and then a ministry to the locals in the area. And of course, there's a significant amount of poverty in the area. It's an area that's trying to become more of a first world area from a third world area. And so you have a slowly developing middle class, but many who have not reached the middle class yet in this area. And so I'm going to try to change to the next slide. Where do I point? What? Try now. There we go. This is a photo of what's called a cultural awareness class, which the last few years we started doing at our church, where we invite different guest speakers from the community to come in. And typically our attendance for this has been 60 to 70 adults, of which 75% don't attend our church on Sunday morning. Of course, we hope as a result of this they all eventually will. But what, you know, there's an expression, seek first to understand, then to be understood. So that's part of what love is trying to understand the culture that you're living in. And so we bring in guest speakers. This particular one was a physician from the local area who was explaining to us how the Mexican medical system works. And so we had 60 to 70 people coming just to hear about that. And that's been quite successful, and we're very pleased with how the Lord has been using that cultural awareness class. And let me go on to our next slide here. We have here a gal from our church named Shauna, who we just saw her actually last week on Vancouver Island in British Columbia. Shauna and her husband Ken, and this is another example of kind of the two-pronged ministry we have down there. Ken and Shauna, as we got to know them better, even just this last week, having spent some time with them, you know, they've gone through some valleys in their life, pretty deep valleys that I'm not going to take the time to share with you, but they were deep, deep valleys. And here they are, they're in their second marriage to each other, healing and ministering to others. She is in a school classroom in a rural village there. We had gathered a bunch of school supplies, and we had distributed those school supplies to these rural village schools. Shauna shared, it was very touching to her personally, that the teacher in this rural school teared up and had tears coming down her cheek when she saw us bringing pencils and notebooks and just the very basics that you'd think, well, what school would need pencils and notebooks? Doesn't every school have pencils and notebooks? And the larger population areas in the Mexican education system are coming along quite well. They're getting very modern with computers and whatnot. But you get out to the rural areas where they're a long ways away, and they haven't reached there yet with the kind of support that an educator would need. And so just, that's an example of what we call community service projects are. This is Nancy sitting with a gal named Saggy. Now, Saggy's laying there on her tummy on the concrete because she has cerebral palsy. She's in her early 40s. She can't use her arms and legs. She paints with her mouth. And the painting that Nancy's holding there is one that we personally purchased and is hanging at our home here in Bismarck. And every Sunday night in the town square, Saggy's family puts her there, and she feels productive because she paints, she lays on her bed in her home and will paint these paintings and try to sell them Sunday night in the town square to whoever passes by. And we paid, I think, $75 for that particular painting. And to me, it's priceless because it reminds me of Saggy's smile. Her unbelievable smile every time you walk by her. And she's laying there with her chin just inches from where, you know, the dogs do their thing on the concrete. And she's just really, really happy to be alive and happy to know how to paint with her mouth and be a productive member of her family. And the children here at BCC raised $300 last winter on Wednesday nights and have sent that to us to help with Saggy. We're going to buy her painting supplies with that. And we brought back for the children a painting of hers that there is hanging somewhere here in BCC. This is an example of, once again, the Lord working over a period of time, progress, steps in a long journey. This particular couple, I'm doing their renewal of their wedding vows. and their adult children are witnessing it. And Paul and Elaine have been down in Mexico about the same amount of time as we have, never stepped foot in the church at first, eventually showed up once in a while, eventually it became every Sunday, eventually Elaine started singing with the worship team, eventually Elaine volunteered to organize things like the music for our fundraiser. And so there's just this steps of growth taking place in their lives. The dog that's part of the witness there to their renewal of wedding vows, you can't see it there, but it's got one front deformed leg. And I used Paul as an illustration in a sermon down there last winter because the text was from Isaiah chapter 40 where it talked about God holding us as lambs near to his heart. Well, what Paul does is when he rides his motorcycle down there, he always unbuttons his shirt and sticks Pokey, the dog, inside his shirt. And then the dog's head is sticking out the front of his shirt and they're riding around town on their motorcycle. And everybody was familiar with that scene. And so I said, you know, that's how much God cares for us. Isaiah 40, verse 11. This is the new little supply room we're having built. It's this photo was just taken probably 6 weeks ago down there. And we needed that because we had a trailer where we stored all our sound equipment in and the things we're going to distribute in our community service projects, like bags of food, non-perishable food items, and the school supplies. And the last two seasons, our trailer's been broken into by thieves during the night, and they stole the sound equipment last fall, and they were trying to do that again already this summer, except that we were smart enough not to store anything of value in it this year. It's stored in people's private homes. And so we need to build something more secure, because in environments like we have there in Mexico, there's just a little more disorder, and there's just a little more of a requirement for you to take personal responsibility for your security than you have here. And yet, there are missionaries who attend our church whenever they're in the area, who right now are in Bolivia. They're doing medical mission work on a ship up the Amazon River in Bolivia, and they can't wait to get from Bolivia back to Mexico because of how much better the standard of life is in Mexico than in Bolivia. And so that just gives you a feel for where things are at in much of the world and how much we need to be paying attention to how the Lord has blessed us where we're at. So now I'd like to turn to the scriptures and share with you a message. If you'd like to ask more questions about our mission work in Mexico, feel free to ask Nancy and I. Have I missed something I should be saying? No? Okay. This is going to be our theme of the message, the With God Life. You know, imagine for a second that you were in a bookstore and you're just looking at books to buy, and if you're like me sometimes, you might cheat. If you're curious about a book, you take it off the shelf, and as you're thumbing through it, should I buy this book or not? You turn maybe towards, at least as I do this, I'll turn towards the end and say, well, where's it leading to? Where's it getting to? What's the end of the story? And so I turn to the end and read that part. Oh, well, yeah, that's a good ending. I think I might be interested in this. If this book was totally unfamiliar to you, the Bible, what's God, and it's a story of God and his interactions with mankind, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 3, we hear of God's ultimate intention concerning his relationship with mankind. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, interestingly, in this verse, we see the word with in there three times. The with God life. If you try to remember, let's see, what was the message about this morning? Just think about that, and may that be the reflection. What does the with God life mean? Because it's a theme throughout the scriptures. After we read that verse, eventually it talks about, in Revelation 21, Eden restored, starting in chapter 22 of Revelation. Well, what does that mean? Well, Eden restored, Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were living with God. That's what made paradise paradise, was the relationship with God. You take God out of the Garden of Eden, and it wasn't paradise. It was the with God part that made it paradise. And throughout the scriptures, that's what we find, is this marveling at this opportunity to have a relationship with God, and the relationship with God transforms us. It changes us. It can't help but do that because of God being who God is. And as it transforms us, it causes us to become the kind of people who reflect what He is. We display His character in our lives, that bringing glory to Him. In the New Testament, in Romans chapter 8, it talks about, a very popular verse is Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose. And we take comfort from that verse oftentimes, all things work together for good. So you go through something you have a hard time understanding, a struggle, the complexities of life, and you say, well, God's hand can be in this and work it for good. If you keep following along with what that verse says, it says, for those who are called according to God's purpose. So you have to think about, what is God's purpose? And we read, if you read on in Romans chapter 8, what His purpose is, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be, what? Conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And then we have this, what they call, theologians call the golden chain. Those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. And so the end of it is that God's purpose is, it says, He glorified Himself through us. And that's what the with God life is about. Us being with God changes us, so that what's happening with our life is just God's coming out of it. And we have lots of different words, like bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, God's living Spirit within. These are all just ways of saying the with God life results in our change, and our change results in our being like Him, in our character. Of course, there's ways we'll never be like Him, in His attributes, all-powerful, all-knowing, present everywhere. That's omnipresent. And that's what we want to talk a little more about for a second, is that omnipresence. Acts 17, verse 26. It says there, from one man God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this. Have you ever wondered, why is my life going the way it's going? Why is my story going the way it's going? Why is the history of this country going the way it's going? And what the next verse says is this: God did this so that they should seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He's not far from any one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. And so what's being said in this scripture is that whether what's happening right now in your personal life, whether what's happening right now in the culture, society you live in, is really hard and difficult, or really comfortable and fantastic, or a mix of the two, every time, every place, is an opportunity to be with God, to have a relationship with God, to integrate the presence of God with the circumstances you're in. When things are really hard, you're integrating the presence of God with those hard circumstances. And what does the presence of God mean in these hard circumstances? When things are going well, to integrate the presence of God with these good circumstances and say, what does it mean that I'm in these good circumstances now, Lord? And what do you want me to do with these good circumstances that I'm in right now? There's never a time in your life where you should be living the without God life. Now, in the Spanish language, the word without, if I want a hamburger without cheese, it would be hamburguesa sin queso. S-I-N means without. Think about that word in English, the English usage of the word sin. Right? It means to be separated from God. The without God life is the fall of man, trying to get by without God. And what we discover, it's for humanity, it's like trying to live without oxygen. And what we discover is all of us can do it for a little while and things seem to be going okay. I could do a little exercise right now where we all hold our breath and you could all go thumbs up. I've gone 5 seconds now without oxygen. Who needs oxygen? Well, humanity keeps doing that game over and over and over of trying to live the without God life. As our bodies were made for oxygen, our spirit, our soul, was made for the with God life. And there are consequences, there are symptoms that start to appear, just like the symptoms of oxygen deprivation, dizziness, nausea, headaches. There's starting to black out. That's the symptoms of living without God as well. And so we move on here with Psalm 139, verse 5. In the Old Testament, David talked about this with God life. You know, one of the things that I should say about this with God life is that you take like a grandparent who's wanting to spend time with a grandchild or a young couple that is dating and in this romantic relationship. The grandparent really doesn't care if their grandchild wants to play checkers or Monopoly or whatever board game the grandchild wants to play. That'll be fine. I'll go along with whichever board game the grandchild picks out. Because what's more important? The time that the grandparent gets to spend with that grandchild. The young couple, do they go to the zoo? Do they go play down at the river? Do they go to a movie? That really is secondary in importance. What's important for each of them is getting to spend time with each other. And we focus a lot of times on specifics and say, well, what's the specific thing I should do? But in general, what's really important is the with God life. Whatever it is, it's being done in the presence of God. It says in Psalm 139, verse 5, Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? He's saying there, I can't think of any place I could go or any time where you're not there. Do we personally believe that God is always present? And then the next question is, what kind of God do we believe is present? Which causes me to think about the life of Moses. There are a number of incidences in Moses' life where God was present in a special way. In Exodus chapter 3, it was a burning bush. At this burning bush, Moses was, he had to go see this strange phenomenon, a bush that kept burning and wouldn't burn up. And it sounds kind of like the flaring that takes place at the oil wells in western North Dakota. It just keeps going and going. Well, he went to see this sight, and God told him to take off his shoes because he was standing on holy ground. And so, what kind of God do we have? A holy God. And then in Exodus chapter 33, Moses asked if he could see the glory of God. He wanted to understand a little more deeply about who God was, what he was like. And God said, it'll kill you, but if you stand in the crevice of a rock, and I'll shield you from my glory, and you'll just see a glimpse of me after I've passed by. Well, this was obviously an awesome God. And then we have also in Exodus 33, Moses in the tent of meeting, where it says that God met with him face to face as one meets with a friend. Now you got to put those together. Here we have the fire and this terrifying God on the mountain that if you look at him, you'll die, within the tent of meeting, where God is a friend who met with him face to face. And he's both of that. And it's that same God that you are called to live with every moment of every day. And so in the good times and in the bad times, I'm with the God who's holy and awesome and also wants to be with me face to face as with a friend, both intimate and transcendent. And that encompasses all that we need for the life that we live. We think when we read these verses, you hem me in behind and before. For me anyway, I think about the pillar of cloud that led Israel in the wilderness. And then when Pharaoh's army attacked, this cloud went behind him to give him protection. And so we have this God that is above us, providentially providing for us and looking over us and blessing us. We have this God who's underneath us. I think of Christ dying, buried, and it says in the Apostles' Creed, descended into hell, and the third day rose again. And so in our little falls, in our daily falls, and in the big fall of sin, and in our ultimate physical fall of death, in all of those, God is underneath us, resurrecting us. God is in front of us, wooing us to himself, for that is life's ultimate goal. God is behind us, forgiving us of our past as we're repentant of it, and cleaning up our mess and providing the protection we need from evil. God is beside us, whispering into our ear the wisdom that we need and the love that we need to feel from him. And of course, God is within us, being our courage, our inspiration. Have you ever thought of the word inspiration? Inspirited. God is within us and transforming us, transforming our hearts inside of us. Moses, when he had met with God and received the Ten Commandments and came down from the mountain, had to put a veil on because the people noticed that his face was so radiant. People talk about, oh, you have a nice tan. Actually, Nancy laughs at my tan because it's what they in North Dakota refer to as a farmer's tan. See, it ends right there. Well, Moses' tan wasn't just that his face was radiant. Moses' tan was that his heart was being changed by the kind of God he was present with. And that is the kind of tan that we should all want, is the with God tan, where we are being transformed and changed just by his presence. That's why praise is so important beyond Sunday mornings. Because you continually need to remind yourself of what this with God, this God that is with you and that you are with, is like. Oh yeah, that's right. He's the eternal, unchanging, glorious one. What was I thinking? Why am I behaving or saying or thinking what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm thinking? Why am I thinking that way when he's the eternal, unchanging, all-glorious one? That changes the perspective on everything when we try to live that type of life. So Psalm 139, 17 through 18 says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." So once again, David reflecting on this presence of God, and he's talking about God's thoughts outnumber the grains of sand. Well, I don't know if you've ever thought about how many grains of sand there are in the earth. Well, let's see, if you add together the Sahara Desert and Mojave Desert, all the grains of sand in those deserts, and that may have been where David was when he wrote those words. So he was looking out at a lot of sand. And then he may have been down at the shoreline in the Mediterranean, looking at the sand there in the shoreline. Well, there's not just the shoreline of the Mediterranean, but the shoreline of the Atlantic and the shoreline of the Pacific, and you add up all the miles of shoreline you have, all the grains of sand that there are. And it says here, the thoughts of God outnumber the grains of sand. So there's a challenge for you to try to think through each of those thoughts of God. Now, what a thought does is it influences. And if I could think about something the way God thinks about something, that would influence me. That would change me. And that's what's being encouraged here. One of the most important things for you to think about the same way God thinks about it is yourself. Can you think about yourself the way God thinks about you? Now, when you look at in your bulletin each week here at BCC, you see a little theme there that says, "Be loved, go deeper, live it out." If you think about yourself the way God thinks about you, you'll experience that first part, be loved. You'll be receiving his love. Then the second part there says, go deeper. In the Spanish language, real estate offices in Mexico advertise using a slogan that says, bien raíces. And what that means is, good roots. And that's how they advertise the homes they're trying to sell. Is they're selling you good roots, a place to root yourself. And to me, what better place to root myself in than the with God life? That's our roots. Our roots go with us wherever we are, because our roots are in here, in Jesus Christ. What better root than his presence in life? Be loved, go deeper, and then live it out. What is the it that we're living out? The it is the with God life, this relationship with him that's changing us, transforming us, and resulting in God's glory coming out. Let's pray. Lord, help us to think your thoughts. Help us to be awake to your presence. May we be changed, transformed, that your character and your glory may shine forth. Amen.